Sci-Fi Party Line. Welcome to another episode of the Sci-Fi Party Line. This is your hostess, Kat, and I have a veteran with me, Will.
Hey, how you doing?
Enthusiastic. And I have a newbie with me. Yeah. A newbie with me. It is Steve, and it is, pronounce your Twitter username.
It's Cyber Oran.
Right. And we today are going to talk about Eureka. Well, last night's Eureka was called Stoned, and I think it was the most fun that I've had in a very long time. Now, Steve, I haven't had you on before. Tell me about your experience with Eureka. Have you been watching it the whole time? Why do you like it? That sort of thing.
I started watching it when it first came on, and shit, I can't remember how long ago. it seems like yesterday, but yeah, I enjoy it so much because it's pretty much like sci-fi pornography. Like every week, you know, you get a different close of sci-fi, you know, like time travel, you know, last week it was stone, petrification last night. And, you know, it's basically sci-fi porn for all our geeks.
Cool.
Did that make any sense?
Yeah, just woke you did. Up. No, yeah. You made a whole bunch of sense. And that's the way I feel about it is you have a lot of, I guess, sci-fi pillow talk with the techno babble. You have a lot of just, you know, really great characters. Lots of a really town full of scientists. That's just, you never see that. And so I really like that. Will, what have you been thinking of this season?
This season? You know, I've really enjoyed the approach, you know, with the time travel story. See, I started watching the time travel story. I'm like, oh, that's cool. It's, you know, we've gone back in the to 1947, and you know, we've seen, you know, what Eureka evolved from, which I think is pretty cool. But I wasn't expecting the reset, we didn't like where we were going, so we're gonna go back and do it over again. And it's interesting, you know, with what's coming up and with what they've done already. And it's interesting because they did like a surface kind of a brush, like, okay, this is okay, we've, you know, these things have changed, this has changed, that's changed. And I'm like, okay, that's cool. And now they're doing and by the way, the lore that you know is completely different now. Because yeah. Doctor, what's her, Beverly is her name, I guess.
Oh, you're jumping ahead. Oh my God.
But they had all that stuff, which is cool.
Yeah. Oh, well, last night's episode, the reason why I felt it was so epic, because from the whole episode, and to the preview, they just, not only was the beginning of this season bold, they gave the fans what they wanted. They gave us what we wanted. You know, they was like, okay, like you said, Will, it wasn't working, and screw it. Let's do something else.
Now, universal reset, yeah.
Yeah. I really enjoy the Blinded Me with Science serenade last night. That's what did it for me.
Yes. I like that too.
What'd you think about that, Steve?
It came out of nowhere. I'm just sitting there watching. I'm like, what the hell is happening? which is the best thing about the show, because you can have a musical Blinded by Science and it'd be like perfect for the show.
Right.
You know, it's not like the puppet episode from Angels, which just came out of nowhere, like some writers.
Oh my God, you went back.
Although I will admit I think that the Buffy musical is my favorite episode ever.
Yeah.
I did comment at the time. I said, well, can we have every episode be in song?
Oh, Eureka should totally do a musical.
Oh, yeah.
They should totally do that. That would be. But the Blind of Me was science. I mean, it was just like the perfect geek girl serenade song. And to have Joe Morton do it, who, you know, it was Miles Dyson, Terminator 2, and now he's Henry Deacon. And it's just, I just really love his character a lot, you know.
Hey, check out the vocoder on him. That was pretty neat.
Right? That was pretty good. It was a little genius. So, one of my regular listeners, Todd Willard, stated that in the earlier episodes, when Harry revealed to his wife that he wasn't her Henry, that it was a little abrupt and that it was jarring, and he didn't really get what he wanted from that scene when he revealed to his wife that it was an alternate timeline. How did you guys feel about that?
Well, I definitely thought that, you know, that was kind of, oh, everything's light, and, you know, and I'm, you know, and, you know, I'm Henry, and I know all the protocols and everything, and, oh, by the way, I'm the one who's going to violate them. I was like, I didn't like the premise of the scene, you know, the getting into the scene, but I have to admit, I do like the actors, and they have, you know, a very good ability, to play a scene like that, which was cool, but it was like, yeah, jarring. It was kind of where are we now?
Yeah, because he didn't even tell her to keep the secret. Steve, go ahead.
Well, for Henry was probably the one who was going to do it the most, because he got the raw end of the deal. Like, Henry, you know, was the character that was the epic loner because he lost the love of his life.
Yeah.
And then all of a sudden, you know, he comes back, and, you know, of course, you know, things changed a little bit, you know, but Henry's now have to be the husband that, yeah, you know, he, you know, for a guy who was a loner and all of a sudden gets thrown a wife, he's like, hi?
And you don't wake up with a, well, I thought would have been a better scene would have been for, because she was looking at his memories. So what I thought they were going to do was show a picture of his old love, and for the wife be like, who the heck is that? And then it would have been really more, I guess, emotional and devastating for him to have told her like that. But they didn't do that, which I thought was, they missed an opportunity.
Yeah.
Well, probably.
Yeah,
you also got to remember, because of the trailer from last night that proved that things have changed, we don't know if Kate's really alive or not.
Yeah, yeah. Oh, my God. That was.
Oh, no.
We don't need
that. Oh, no.
Made my head, 'cause she's already come back from the dead, like in the race.
Yes.
The crossover, that is another kind of epic thing that happened with Eureka and Warehouse 13. Neil Grayston and Allison Scagliotti, did I pronounce that correctly? They went to each
closer
other.
Closer than I would.
Yeah, yeah. Let's just call her Skaggy, but that's weird. But
you can't call her Skaggy with that. No, you can't do that.
Yeah, that's ridiculous. But I think that he had one of the biggest changes, Douglas Fargo, is that he's now the head of Global Dynamics, which is not really a good fit, but it makes for great TV, and he's funny at it.
Mm. Yeah. Well, I like the fact of the matter, and I wonder if we're going to find out more next week, that, you know, there's kind of the, you know, there's the scientist part of him, and then there's the corporate part of him, the government part, the government man, the guy, you know, the guy, this guy is from the government and he does whatever. And
yeah,
I don't know.
But not our Fargo, though.
Right, not our Fargo, the other Fargo. See, okay. So, there's obviously at some point where he jumped from junior administration and scientific research to administration work and research. So it's more of a, he's a different man entirely.
Yeah.
So, and he, there was a little bit of that kind of going, I don't know what I was like when I started this, but I can't, and I can't ask anyone, obviously. But,
well, no, we found out. Will, you missed an episode, and it was the Will Wheaton zombie episode. He was a dick.
I missed one. Well, Wheaton was a dick, or somebody
else.
Yeah,
Steve, tell Will a little about that episode.
Yeah. Missed that episode.
He played probably the. Oh my god, that was so funny though. He played the that's the smartest guy in the room, basically. Mm-hmm. Like, he was smarter than everyone. Like, he played Zane, but not as cool. And he like, that's the only way I can probably describe it. He's the smartest guy in the room, and he hated Fargo and being affected with the rage virus.
Right. Yeah.
Yeah. Made him 10 times as mean and evil to Fargo as possible.
Did you see Will Wheaton on Big Bang Theory? You know how evil he was?
Oh,
evil.
He was kind of
a dick in Eureka.
See,
that's
the funny thing to me is that, you know, Will Wheaton is a very good writer. I read his blog all the time. But, you know, and he's a nice guy. But everything he's been in recently, he's been evil Will Wheaton.
I think he was on Criminal Minds, and he was a serial killer as well.
Yeah, he's
a serial
killer. It's evil Will Wheaton.
He's mastering the corner's evil.
I know.
He was on Left. He was an evil guy. He wasn't evil, but he wasn't necessarily good either.
He was obnoxious evil on Leverage.
Yeah.
I didn't see that one either.
Yeah,
but
Leverage
is a spy. Well, I know. Okay. I've seen like the first six or seven episodes, and they stopped watching it, and then I don't have access to it anymore. Yeah. But I must say that the evil Will Wheaton character from Big Bang Theory will always be evil to me because he broke up Leonard and Penny. Don't come to me and say, he's all right. No, he's not all right. He's not a cool guy. He broke up Leonard Penny.
Well, he is going to be back on Eureka, so we get to see him again, and I hope he's just a...
And Shade is going to be on...
yeah, I think that one might be on Hulu. That one might be on Hulu, Will, so you got to check that one out because Will...
No, my premise was, or my idea was, that she should be like a super spy kind of a thing. She's probably going to be just a geek in a lab coat, but she should be like a super secret spy person.
That would be kind of cool. But yeah, she is probably going to, because that's kind of her. Her kind of MO is to be geeky girl thing. But whatever.
It's not bad,
but you know, I kind of get sick of it. Another thing I'm kind of sick of, Joe Lupo and Zane.
Yeah.
Amen.
Yeah. Did you like them as a couple before the change?
I did. You know what? I accepted it. Like, I was just like, it's going to be one of those staple couples in there.
But that's
now,
like accepting that you have a child molester living next to you and you can't do anything because it's law. I mean, come on. What do you mean you accepted it? No, Steve.
Hold it a second. The guy he wasn't a child molester.
But I'm just saying, he's like, you know, I'm going to
right to child molester.
I'm going to tolerate it.
It's like using Hitler in an argument. You can't use. You can't
I know.
Go to
I
Hitler.
Might as well shut the whole web, the whole podcast.
Shut it down now, because
okay. No, we interrupted Steve. I'm just being silly, Steve. Go ahead.
I know. I know. You can't hear me laughing through the little microphone I have for the iPhone, but. Zane was probably the character they misfired the most on.
Yeah.
In Eureka, they brought him in. He was supposed to be the bad boy. He was supposed to be like the guy that Carter had to con into helping him, you know. And then when Stark left, he was supposed to be the next Stark. Which again, I think they misfired on him so much because they gave him the love story.
Yeah.
You know, and Lupo basically
became soft. Ugh.
Yeah, she became soft, and she kind of neutered him in a way. He lost his edginess when he was with her.
Yeah, they neutered each other there. Quite effective. Yeah. Well, see, I thought originally I liked Eureka, but I had a problem with it in that it kind of had Andromeda kind of a problem. You remember the TV show Andromeda?
Yeah, yeah. With
that changed premise every year.
Oh yeah.
Yeah, it's just like it's like everything's very wide, and he'll never get to put that back together. Oh, he's got put back together now. Well, that's never going to do with the now he's back in time. It's just get really weird.
I think that Andromeda did horribly. Oh yeah, oh god.
Earth Final Contact.
That's what I thought, but I didn't want to say it because I get teased every time I bring that up. But
I get teased. Hey. I watched,
I
know this. I watch every episode, and I'm literally watching it going, what the hell's going on here? What, this makes no sense.
In fact, when I first started vlogging, that was my first rant. It was my very first rant. But I don't know if Eureka does such a horrible job, but yes, Steve, I agree with you. Zane is just a misfire, and I want him to die. I think he should die.
Okay.
I just want him to go crazy and blow stuff up.
Well, you know, that's cool too.
That's all I want. Because again, like, if he's gonna go out, I think Zane should just at least go out causing enough havoc as possible.
You should take out at least a bus of people, is what you're thinking.
Oh god.
Not that. Like, you know, just have him blow up like every tank on the field and make a run for it.
Our global devil. thing is, he's supposed to be the bad boy this season, but he wasn't that bad. I mean, he wasn't bad.
Yeah, you're right.
He didn't have it.
Well, yeah, it's bizarre that you want your go-to bad guy to not be a go-to bad guy. And it's like, well, that's weird a bit. Okay, I don't know if they made a mistake with him or what, but
he
must be
sleeping with somebody. He has to be.
I don't know.
Okay,
I think it's eye candy for the girls and eye candy for the guys.
There's better eye candy than he is. He's just not, I mean, Carter is way better than him. Shit, Sheriff Andy.
Yeah.
Old Sheriff Andy and new Sheriff Andy. But before I get to the sheriffs,
Sheriff Andy 2.0.
Right?
Yes.
That should be his new name.
The best thing I like about the Joe Lupo relationship is now Zoe's involved. And
that was when she goes, I'm going to be sick. I was like, oh god, that was cool. I mean, you know, she's like, I can't deal. And I was like, oh yeah, again, this is what I like. I like characters that are interesting in situations that are realistic, and the science, the science or the fiction can just do whatever it wants to do. Mm-hmm. You know, it's almost to that point where it's like you take a flimsy premise, you tack it up on the wall, and then you watch these people react emotionally.
Because I gotta tell you, the stone thing, it was pretty flimsy, but everything else in the episode was epic.
Yeah, it was very cool. The whole, kiss in the hallway, and it was very cool.
Yay. But I don't really like Zoe's new hair. I don't like her new. She's just not as good as she was before. I don't know. She's just boring me a little. But
okay, I need somebody to tell me, where did she go from the kid who never goes into school to genius? I didn't see the genius transition.
It happened over time, and I think that she pulls off the genius well. I mean, how can it not rub off on you and Eureka? I'm pretty sure my IQ would raise if I lived in Eureka, but I believe that. But I want her to have a little bit more of an edge. Everybody's too nice now, and her hair is all limp and it's not blonde; it's darker. And I just like, I don't get it. I don't know what they're doing. It's not really pretty. And she used to really dress really pretty. And now it's all, she looks like a 30s housewife, or a 30-year-old housewife or something. You know. But the change between Sheriff Andy and Deputy Andy, we first had Ty Olson, and now we have Kevin Smith. And I kind of like the original sheriff. But the new one is a little bit more fake and plastic, which, you know, I kind of enjoy.
Yeah,
I think it's because they switched it because they wanted to take the character in a new direction. Like Sheriff Andy was more what do you call that old TV show Ron Howard was in?
Andy Griffith, Aw Shucks.
That type of thing.
Yeah.
He was more of that character and that fit for the storyline. But this new one is interesting because, you know, he's going to be the AI that gains feelings and all that stuff.
Yeah, he's shagging Sheriff Carter's house.
Which is fantastic for Eureka.
Right. That is the funniest thing that I've ever heard is that, you know, their android sheriff is having sex with a house. And that's just awesome. I mean, I like the thing where he was supposed to, like, update something or another. She's like, please stick your finger in here to update blah, blah. And she's like, wrong hole. And then after that... Oh my God, they fell in love. And then, you know, when Sarah starts having feelings, everything goes crazy. The last time she had feelings, they almost did the thermonuclear war games type of thing. And now she has big robots running after everyone. So
I just love that scene at the end of the show when Joe and Carter are walking out, and all of a sudden Andy just comes out of the closet smiling. And it's just the look on their faces as he walks out the room, and I'm just like, damn.
You just had sex with my house. That is the best. Oh, my God. I'm looking forward to that. And speaking of love, we got to go into the love triangle, quadrangle, or however you want to. Carter, Blake, and Grant. And then maybe Tess. Finally, we get the kiss. Well, I mean, we got a 60-year-old kiss, but that was kind of an accidental thing. And then this weekend, we got the kiss.
I loved it because it was like, yeah, you're right. Because he turns around and you can see, you can read his face. He's like, yeah, you're right. Yeah, it's illogical. But it makes sense. And they cut to the side chat and he just comes in and kisses her. It's like, No way this is going to stand. I'm just going to kiss you because, you know, I want to kiss you. That was brilliant. That was amazing.
Yeah, because he's been really messing around. He'd been flirting, but he never stepped up to the plate. For 4 years, this guy's been kind of teasing and hinting at he likes her or whatever, but he never really got in there until, you know, sexy James Callis comes up and, you know, it's like, oh, he wanted to get with Allison. It was like a little competition going on there for a second, and it was kind of ugly to watch. Steve, what are you thinking about this relationship? Or did you like the kiss? What did you?
I was honestly, before we talk about that, we got to talk about the fact that they retconned his relationship with what's her name.
Okay, talk to us about that.
That has to be probably like another misfire by Eureka. Like, you just brought that character in just so you can have the breakup again.
I was happy. I celebrated. I didn't care about that at all because I did not like the character. I didn't want her there. She was there as is the right one, MacGuffin or so. I don't know what she was just there. A red herring. What, I don't know what she was. She was there to cause some trouble. MacGuffin.
I don't know.
She's just a gotcha. That's what she is. And I didn't.
I did not like her. That was my these writers are good to an extent, but they do get trapped or locked into paths in the story, and it just it's well, originally it was like, you know, these stories, I think, was how they were picturing it. Yeah, because Sci-Fi Mister, make sure every episode is contained in the episodes so we can play them out of order and, you know, over weeks and months and years, you know, long after you're dead, is basically the premise of the shows for sci-fi. But the thing is, now they're trying to put it into a cohesive,
with the reboot. I think so, yeah. But... were you pro Tess, Steve, or were you anti Tess? I didn't get your stance on that before I went and started talking.
See, again. I understand why people hated her, but I liked her because she was what Carter needed at the time. He needed someone to be wild and spunky and all that stuff, and she was like a great foil for him as a character. And again, and again, when they brought her back, I was like, oh yeah, I'm gonna get more of this, more of this. And then all of a sudden, oh, she's gone again. And I'm just like, Riders. I censored myself at that moment.
Yeah. They broke it off with each. It was weird the way they broke up. Because it was like they broke up in a preview or something. Or like in the first 2 seconds of the episode. Oh, and I didn't know what was going on. And I was, oh, that was the official break. Because I hadn't seen this scene where they broke up via hollow Leia help me Obi-Wan Kenobi thing. And I didn't.
Thank you. I thought I missed an episode when I watched the season premiere. I'm like, when was this?
Yeah. And then when he told Henry we broke up, blah, blah. Oh, that just happened. And it was just really kind of sloppy.
Oh, wait. Oh, I missed the end of last season. Okay. All right.
That happened at the beginning of the first episode.
I assumed I missed it.
No, you didn't. It was kind of sloppy, but I let it go because I don't care for
text. So wait a minute. Let me get this straight. They broke up, they did the thing, and then they were back together again.
They broke up, they had Founders Day, they traveled to time, they came back, Test never left.
Yeah.
Okay.
You know, there's going to be a mysterious lost episode somewhere where they're going to show that.
Maybe they have webisodes that we haven't been paying attention to. I don't know. But
you know what I want to have happen in this situation? I want to hear what happened in the writers' room.
Oh, that would be an interesting story.
Yeah, well, there was
that Bruce Miller's name is now where Jamie Paglia's name or Andrew somebody's name is dropped from the intro. What do you call that intro music? Show opener, the show opening credits.
Yes.
Either Andrew Cosby or Jamie Paglia's name has been dropped, and Bruce Miller has been added. So I think there's some changing of hands going on.
There was some fights over the retcon.
Yeah. Mm. Yeah. I don't know. Yeah. Well,
we're going back to 1940. No, we want to go back to 1960. 40, 60. You're fired.
Let's make a compromise. 47. I really enjoy that. I thought it was good. If you're going to do a reset, I just support their decision to do it this way. I think it shook up Eureka because it was, I still enjoyed it, but it was becoming too formulaic and you can predict what's happening in the episode and nothing really changed. And I really enjoy how they shook this up and I support them fully, whatever they do. I have always been a fan of Allison and Carter, which is why I dislike Tess, and I think she looks like a puppet. I am also, Dr. Grant, he is kind of one of those gotcha characters, too. He's like the Tess for Carter, or for Allison, rather, it also feels like he's a useless character as well, because he's not really doing that much.
You know, I would agree with that, except for the end of this episode.
Yeah, except for the end of this episode. I felt that way, but now I kind of... Yeah. Because of the end of the episode where Beverly returns.
Bum, bum, bum! Bum, bum, bum. No, wait.
How excited were you, Steve, to see Beverly?
I was excited because she was one of the characters, like, again, the immortal was the one thing that always interested me about it. Like, the mortal and time traveler.
Mm-hmm.
Those were like the two sci-fi characters that always like interest me,
mm-hmm.
You know, and you know to see those two interact with each other.
Yeah,
I'm gonna be sitting next Friday night having my nerdgasm going like, ooh,
that's exactly what I had last night.
Ooh, what are they gonna say? What are they gonna do? Is he gonna run and hide, or they're gonna have the conversation?
I didn't want you guys to do that. No, that wasn't good.
Yeah, I did not expect to see her coming. I heard no, you know, spoilers or anything like that. So it was a complete surprise to see her there. And mm-hmm. I did do a girly squeal. And it's a very good move for them to do that. And because I think she was kind of a character that got a raw end of the deal as well, because she kind of came. She had this interesting story and then she just kind of left. And then what?
Yeah, Yeah, it's weird. Again, if this falls back to the writing, and if you're in fact correct that they lost a producer and gained, you know,
I don't think that
showrunner.
He's gone, but I think there's some shuffling going on. Well, I'm not sure.
Well, I know that Paglia, I think he's gone. He's pitching more shows to.
So it must be him.
Well, no, I know he was doing that, but his name is predominantly on the, you know, the created by. So I don't, you know, I haven't watched the credits. I never watch the credits.
Well, they're so quick, and I'll notice it, and I forgot to notate it, and I didn't look before the show, so that's why we're getting this kind of stew of unknown with me on that. But whatever they're doing, I like it. So I don't care. I also like the new Kevin, the new son. I like that they replaced the character, and I like that he's not autistic anymore. That kind of drug down the story a bit. I like the awareness of the disease, or is it a disease or a condition? I'm not sure. But I really like that Allison gets to interact with her son, and it's not a hassle, and it's not sad. And actually it's quite funny because she's kind of hovering and getting on his nerves.
Yeah, that was you're right about it being a stumbling block, because they couldn't cure autism. No. That would not. You
can't just get rid of it in the real world with time travel, and which is sad. I wish we could do that for every kid, but
yeah. All right, guys, my brother's giving me like the 2-minute warning, so I gotta go.
Okay, well, thanks for joining us, Steve. Yeah. I will talk to you later.
Can I just say one thing?
Before
I go?
Yeah.
Recording, Erika?
Yeah.
Nathan Stark?
Woo!
Nathan Stark? Woo! Thank God. He's back.
Yes. We were going to wait to the end, but that's your end, so we'll talk about it.
He's back. He's back, and let's hope he kicks Zane's ass. That's all I have to say.
Thanks
You're
for joining us.
You have a poor reputation in me. Yeah, no problem. Talk to you guys later.
All right, bye-bye.
See ya.
On the next All New Eureka.
I don't understand.
There's something I need to show you.
They finally got past the Y.
You guys are so junior high, Paul.
Now they'll need to get past their S.
I did not expect to see that.
Hey, Carter. Miss me?
Eureka, an original series. All new this Friday at 9. Only on Sci-Fi. Imagine greater.
Before Steve left, we talked about Nathan Stark coming back. Mm-hmm. Is this something good for you? Because if I had the ability to jump over the moon, I think I did it last night. I danced around a little. I promise I danced around a little bit. I, you know, was yelling on Twitter. I'm pretty sure I got on people's nerves. But this is my guy. This is almost as good as Christopher Eccleston returning as the Doctor for me.
Oh, come on.
Yes. It's that close.
Jeez. I never, you know, that he didn't do that for me. I'm saying right now. But no, it's
you hate it because he's so handsome.
No, I don't hate him. I don't hate him. I'm feeling different towards him.
Really?
This leads to, I think it leads to a lot of cool possibilities in that everything they want to ignore from the past, they can ignore. Everything they want to make, you know, a signpost from the past, they can do that too.
Yeah.
Yeah. It's
a blank slate.
Literally, quite literally a blank slate.
It's a blank slate with a sort of a history, and that they, you know, make reference to and get the fans excited. It's just the perfect thing that they've done here.
Yeah, exactly. Well, and the other thing is, you remember when he first came back, Allison and he weren't exactly seeing eye to eye there for a second.
No.
And then he saw her kind of going towards Carter, and then he said, oh, wait a minute, maybe she's, you know, for want of a better term, melting, and, you know, and zoom right in there. Because Carter wasn't really, you know, I think Carter's always been, at least to my eye, he's always been a little put back because he's in the room with geniuses. It's the idea that, you know, smartest guy in the room? No. Dumbest guy in the room, and he knows he's the dumbest guy in the room.
Yeah, because he's kind of like, to a group of scientists, he's like one step up from a janitor, really. You know,
literally. Yeah, but he, you know, he's got, you know, for want of a better term, street smarts. He's
yes,
a smart, intelligent person, but in the in any situation, he would be okay, but in that room, in that town with those people, you can't, you know, it's just, you know, he's intellectually he's at the bottom rung.
That's, you know, that I do agree with that, but I also agree that he connects them to the real world, because that's exactly what he does. Because they always want to overthink things and think things through, and he's like, well, you know,
yeah,
why don't we just make it like it's crunchy and milk, and then
yeah,
they're like, exactly, oh my god, that is the answer, and then the day is solved, and it's like really ridiculous. And Nathan Stark used to give him crap about that, you know, and
that was one of the things I liked about Stark was that, you know, most of the scientists were in the scientific world, most of, you know, the administrative people were in the administrative world, but yeah, you know, but Carter linked the two together, and yeah, and he was able to link that to reality,
right?
And it was interesting. I also believe on a basis level, on a, just you're down at the bottom, that Carter is good for the scientists because, you know, he, you know, if it's Henry or if it's, you know, if it's Fargo, they have to explain it to him. So and
explain
I,
it to us, because we're Carter.
Well, obviously we're Carter, because, you know, super science. You know, we're Carter in that, you know, here's someone we can explain things to. But the thing about it is, as I explain things, I organize my thoughts, mm-hmm, and then I explain them, and it, I know it better when I explain it than when, if I don't. Yeah. So, yeah, so that, you know, that must be, that must be part of the premise, at least a little bit. You know, I don't know if that's actually in there, but
it rings true. So yeah, this is another instance of the writers of this show giving us what we want. I felt like that every blog post that I've ever written on Eureka has been read and answered. I felt like that that my prayers to the gods of Eureka, Andrew and Jamie and now Bruce, thank you guys, because this episode, I don't know what they're going to do with Stark. I don't think he's going to be a regular or anything, but just the fact that they brought him back, even if it's just for one episode, makes me extremely happy. Last night, the whole package of what they did from beginning to preview for next week was just a complete feeling of, I am the target audience for this show. And it's very rare that I feel that. And this show is what I feel like. They are making this for people like me. A lot of people don't understand this show. A lot of people don't get this show. Whatever, that's their loss. I love it. I get it.
I think I get the show. You know, I don't think it was.
I don't see how it's. I don't see what's not to get. It's just a wacky little show that has, you know, some science references.
Endearing, science references and endearing characters. Yeah.
Yeah.
But I think. Well, I'll say this. I don't get Warehouse 13.
God, that's another conversation. Yeah, I think it's just like Eureka, but with steampunk things, and it's like Raiders of the Lost Ark.
They go. Eureka goes to the far future, and whereas 13 goes to the past.
Yeah, and so I think that's pretty much it. And they're coming into their own with the, because they tried to be a little serious at first, Warehouse 13, mm-hmm, but
yeah, no,
they just gave up and they just started being really silly, and I think that's where the show started to shine. But I have really good news for you, Will. Eureka got a fifth season. It's already approved.
Yes.
Already.
So they get five seasons. So what? We get that in 2014, right? The way they play series back on Sci-Fi, they have to finish the second part of this series, and that's.
Dude, don't be like that. That's for next year.
They take a year off.
They're not going to take a year off. They're just we may have like three more episodes. Well, they do that with other shows like BSG.
Well, Caprica.
Those are fall flagship shows. They do those with fall flagship shows.
No. January, not fall. January.
That's fall adjacent.
No, first half season, you know, last year, next half the season.
That's fine. Year. That's another podcast. No, let me finish with my news. Okay, what?
Go ahead. No. You can't do that. You cannot do that.
Eureka's not going to do that. They're going to come in next year in the summer, and then we're going to have our show. So. Mm-hmm. Eureka got a fifth season. Congratulations, because I really thought it was going to get canceled. They canceled their text messaging because I subscribed to the sci-fi text Eureka thing, and they'd send you text to let you know when, you know, the show was getting ready to come on, or, you know, trivia or whatever. And they discontinued that, and I was really scared. I was like, oh my God, they canceled the text. That means the show's not going to go. Oh my God. And then it's like, fifth season. And woo! I was really happy. So... Mm-hmm. That's really great. Also, of course, we mentioned that Felicia Day is going to be a guest star. Ming-Na from, what's that, SGU. Yes. Stargate Universe is going to make an appearance. And Stan Lee.
Mm-hmm. Yes. He did it this week, I think.
What?
He did it this week in Canada.
Vancouver. Oh, okay. So he shot it? Okay. Good.
Yeah, he shot it. He's done.
The season finale or something?
I don't think it is, because, well, there's a holiday. They have the holiday special, which they got.
Oh, God, yes, they're going to have a Christmas special. I hope it's not as bad as the Star Wars Christmas special.
Excuse me. Holiday special. It's not a Christmas special. It's a holiday.
Excuse me. I'm thinking about Doctor Who. They're always called Christmas special, so.
Well, they play on Christmas. That's another thing.
Holiday special, whatever.
Exactly. But, but Wil Wheaton was also in Vancouver this week.
Yes, so, I see that tweet.
Yeah, it should be cool. Should be cool. Where they don't get the Sci-Fi Channel, which I thought was very bizarre.
They don't?
And yeah, well, apparently...
So don't they have a Space Channel or something? I don't know.
Well, I think, Space, I think, is. But I think Wheaton was saying that it was ironic that he's on the show for the second time and he can't watch the show on Friday nights.
He lived in California. I don't know.
He lived in California. He lives in California, but the production's in Vancouver. So he was
okay. Yeah.
Yeah.
Whatever they do needs to get Hulu or figure out some other means of. But I'm extremely happy with what's going on with Eureka. I was just, you know, dying to talk to someone about it and express my love. And Ed Quinn coming back, because I really thought. I don't know what happened there and why they killed him off, but the fact that they bring him back, I'm happy. They can do no wrong. They will always get my support, even if they kill him again. It's because they brought him back. I'm happy. So any final thoughts about Eureka? Any hopes, any wishes?
Except for the Felicia Day spy thing, I'm really just... It's a great little show. I like it a lot. That's the thing about it. It's not so challenging that, what are the implications of these characters? Like Lost, like I'm thinking about Star Galactica myself.
Oh, okay.
You know, it's like, who's number seven? Okay, there's seven, so I forgot one and everything. So, really intense. And we had some very long and very intense conversations about that. This is a fun, interesting show.
You're just not going to have anybody pull out a gun and commit suicide, you know, on this show.
No, definitely not.
God,
it's not going to happen.
Off, but that's why, like, it's just fun. It's goofy. It's science-y, and I like
science-y.
It.
Very science-y.
Science-y. That's exactly what it is.
And by science-y, it's very science-y. That word from our sponsor. Yes, science-y.
Oh God, but yeah. Well. I look forward to, I don't know how many episodes we have. It seems like every episode that's playing right now has three or four more episodes, maybe two. So it's going to wrap up soon. Well, that's our show, Will. We can wrap it up. Where can they find you? LW_Will.
I'm out on the Twitters all the time. I'm just
if they wanted to know where to contact you, that's where they do.
That's probably where they find me.
Yeah, most likely. Give us a call at 773-336-2686. Our email is info@scifipartyline.com. You can also leave us comments on the website of scifipartyline.com. Send us a message on Facebook, and that is facebook.com/scifipartyline. Twitter @scifipartyline. Thanks for listening. We hope you enjoyed this wacky show, and we'll see you at the party next time. Bye.
See ya. Bye.
Woo.
It's poetry in motion. You turned your tender eyes to me, as deep as any ocean.
As sweet as any harmony.
What is going on?
She blinded me with science. You blinded me with science!